Jacob.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man, how are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Man, we are good. I've got Eric Bischoff with us, and we're excited to catch up with you this evening. Can you hear me?
Hey, I can hear you.
Great. Hey, man, I got Eric Bischoff with us, and we're excited to catch up with you today. I know that you've picked a fun show for us to watch. SummerSlam 2003. What is it about this show that catches your attention and you want Eric and I to sort of break down with you?
I knew that you guys were doing Halloween Havoc 95 on the regular feed. And so as a result of having to watch that again, I kind of wanted to see Eric get beaten up by Shane McMahon for a little while.
Conrad, did you catch the tone of his voice when he said, as a result of having to watch that again?
Well, you know, Eric, this is a fun show. SummerSlam 2003. This is where you and Shane McMahon had a Falls Count Anywhere match. So this should be pretty fun. I'm looking forward to hearing your take on getting the shit beat out of you for 10 and a half minutes. Cause that's certainly what happened, but, I'm curious.
I won that. Didn't I?
No.
Didn't I beat Shane McMahon all over the building? I hit him with a DDT. Didn't I?
Well, we're going to find out in just a few minutes.
No, the truth is I didn't. I got my head split open from an elbow off the top turnbuckle. That's what really happened.
Well, listen, man, we appreciate you supporting us here on Patreon. What do you like so much about 83 weeks that you decided to join us here?
it's funny. I'm also a low-key big hog on Shivani's podcast, and that time period, those 83 weeks were probably when I was the biggest fan of wrestling. And so it's just every week it's a callback to when I was having the most fun as a wrestling fan. And I mean, it's a joy every week. Just listen to you guys, recount stories of what was going on during that time and kind of learning what was going on behind the scenes. It's a blast.
Well, we're having a blast doing it, man. We appreciate you, supporting us here. And obviously it means a great deal to Eric's family and my family. And we're able to do this because of guys like you. And it means a lot that you'd step out and support what is really a free podcast because you want more content. So if there's anything we can do a better job with, or you want more of this or less of that, please communicate that to us, on Patreon, because we want to keep making you happy. What's been your favorite episode or favorite moment of the show so far?
Oh, gosh. Pretty much anytime you bring up Dungeon of Doom, I growing up as a Hulk maniac, Hulkster's run in a couple of months, I guess it was a couple months ago now. That was a treat. There hasn't been an episode that I haven't enjoyed so far. It's different from the other two, and I like that. I like Eric, I like the way that you're able to recall things that happen when you're able to recall things that happen. I like the way that you tell stories, and it's just really interesting to hear.
Well, thanks, Jacob. It's a pleasure doing it. I really do have a lot of fun doing it. It's in many respects, believe it or not, the highlight of my week, because it really is fun, and it forces me to go back and look at a time like you where I'm a wrestling fan too, and it really was fun. And sometimes I forget about it until we sit down and go, okay, we're going to do this show, and I have to go back and look at stuff. So I look forward to looking at SummerSlam 2003 and making fun of somebody else's shit for a change.
Well, I wanted to try to pick something that, maybe wasn't WCW. I mean, there was a lot of WCW stuff that I was thinking about, but my thought, I guess, was that you guys, may end up covering that at some point anyway. And I figure it's less likely that you'd be talking about, the WWE stuff, because that's, not part of those 83 weeks. I'm interested in hearing some of those stories, and especially since this is around the time or the lead up to the Shane matches when you broke into Vince McMahon's house and made out with his wife. So that
absolutely, and look where that took her. She's now a member of the Trump administration cabinet.
You know what? And there are a lot of things that, you know, people can say about that on either end of the spectrum. So.
All right, Jacob. Well, listen, it's been fun talking to you tonight. We're going to cut this show, and it'll probably be available sometime tomorrow or the next day, but you'll be able to listen and hear your thoughts and hear our thoughts.
Sounds good. I can't wait.
Thanks a lot, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Bye-bye. All right, Eric, so let's get into it, man. SummerSlam 2003, as requested by the patrons here on Patreon. And this is a fun match, man. We're going to have everybody fire up SummerSlam 03 from August 24th, 2003. And we want you to get to 36 minutes and 3 seconds in. And when you get to that point, you should see the match graphic for Shane McMahon and Eric Bischoff. And they're going to show us the little package to give us the backstory. And then we'll get into the match itself. So fire up your WWE Network and watch along with us. And Eric is going to go back in time more than 15 years to revisit. This was an interesting storyline. So fire it up and we're going to give you a countdown. Eric, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1, play. How about these karate moves you're doing here? What would you call this graphic that we're looking at where it's the two individual combatants? Is there a name in the business for this look or this piece?
I think everybody, it's just a graphic, you know, match graphic is probably the way it was identified inside the format.
And we've got the backstory here. Carry us through what's going on here. We see you guys cutting promos on each other and we're building to the match. What was the storyline here?
Well, it started out obviously with me as GM and the issue that I had with Shane anyway as a result of that. But eventually, I believe this is the one where I ended up breaking into the McMahon home and spending a little quality time with Mrs. McMahon. I mean that is a story unto itself. I've never. Oh, nice! Did you see that? Did you see those kicks? Damn, that was often. That was cool.
Man, this is good stuff. Vintage Shane McMahon choking out Kane with the cables here on Raw.
And I can't, you know, put over enough. First of all, what a great guy Shane is. He really, really is a good guy. I dig him a lot. And secondly, just how tough he is. I mean, it's not an act. This is a very, very tough guy. Physically, I mean, he can take a ton of abuse, as we're seeing here at the hands of Undertaker. There, another big win for Eric Bischoff.
With a little help from your friends. And of course, JR's calling you out. I kind of forgot that Kane set JR on fire.
Come on now. Everybody's got, you know, I mean, that, you know, JR getting set on fire was WWE's version of the Yeti.
Steve Austin rocking the Rolex here on Raw.
I can't remember what this promo was about. Obviously, this is Steve Austin setting me up so that I have to face Shane McMahon. I'm pretty sure that's it. Check out that Von Dutch leather jacket I'm wearing. That is the shit right there.
Do you still have that jacket?
I still have that jacket somewhere. I think I do. I might have gave it away. My wife makes me clean out my closets about once every 3 years. And, you know, I'm not a clothes whore, you know, I don't get a lot of clothes, but I do love jackets. So I probably go, ooh, look at that chokeslam at the hands of Kane. But he sets me down because he's a gentle kind of giant monster.
So how about that? So the storyline was he signed a contract thinking he made you sign a contract thinking you were going to take on Shane McMahon, but instead it was a curveball. It was Kane. You wanted no part of it, laid down, and Kane wasn't having it. And now the match is set up for SummerSlam. And here you are in the McMahon home. Is this really Vince's house right here?
Yeah, it really is Vince's house. And this was so bizarre. You know, when I got the phone call about this and asked to fly out to Connecticut just to shoot this scene, I almost thought it was a rib, and it wasn't. And I thought, wow, this is going to be great TV. This is going to be a lot of fun. And I didn't start thinking about it until the night before, because I got into Stanford the night before. And I'm in my room, and I'm thinking, what in the hell am I doing? I'm sexually assaulting Vince McMahon's wife on television. It's just, it was nuts. I got to tell you, it was just nuts.
So you're the only person I know personally who's kissed a member of Trump's cabinet.
Isn't that awesome? I mean, you know what? I've got to meet, you know, Muhammad Ali. I was a guest of the North Korean government in 1995. I've traveled the world. I've done so many things. And I've accomplished so much in professional wrestling. But the only thing I can say that I've accomplished that nobody has is I've made out with a member of Donald Trump's cabinet. I think that's awesome. Just one more notch on my belt. Oh, this is bad. This is, and I say it's bad because I know I'm going to get my ass kicked here. But I think this was in Phoenix, if I'm not mistaken. And I was living in Phoenix at the time. Is that right? Does your research assistant have this down as in Phoenix?
You know, I didn't do any research for this. I was just going to do a watch along and let you have fun with it. But you're exactly right. They're at the Talking Stick Resort Arena in Phoenix, Arizona.
Which, you know, they called it the Talking Stick, you know, arena, so it makes it sound like it's on an Indian casino reservation. However, this is the main venue, and I think it's called America West, or was called the America West Arena. I don't know what it's called. But yeah, I was living in Phoenix at the time, so I only had to drive, you know, 20 miles. So this was like a day off for me. I didn't have to travel. I showed up at the building on time. It was great. I don't know what I'm talking about here because we have the audio down, but I'm sure it was a magnificent promo.
Well, what you're talking about is how now that you've, you know, been able to make out with a McMahon, it's not a matter of did it happen. It's a matter of how many times did it happen, because you made it happen again and again and again. And
that was before Blue Chew.
Yeah. Oh. And now you're like, I can tell, Shane, where you get all your energy. It's bred into your DNA. And here comes Shane.
That was so bizarre.
I mean, this is really the basis of the storyline is I banged your mom.
That was it. That's it. You know, there's always got to be stakes. There's got to be something. And in this case, the stakes were his mother's pride. And that's okay. That's a good story. And I'll tell you, getting in the ring, you know, Shane's bigger than I am, obviously, but he's not a lot bigger. You know, it's not like being in there with Kane or Kevin Nash or Brock Lesnar or something like that. But he is as hard as a rock. He really is. And he is just all go. And, you know, as you can see, I'm eating elbows. And, you know, he was working pretty light with me right here. He wasn't taking advantage of in any way. But even for Shane, that's, you know, that's some pretty legit stuff. Like this stuff here, yeah, that hurt. You know, not as much as getting punched in the face, but it definitely, I definitely felt it. And it's funny, Conrad, because I had never taken anything off a top rope or off of a turnbuckle before. Now, obviously, I've seen it a couple million times over the course of the years. But I've never thought about it from the perspective of actually taking a bump like that, because this is not my deal. But it was on this day, and when they came and laid out the match to me early in the afternoon here, they said, okay, you know, at the end of the match, you're going to be on the table, and, you know, Shane's going to go up. They said he's going to go up. I'm thinking, you know, middle rope, top rope, you know, nah, he wouldn't do the top rope. He'll do the middle rope. He'll come off the apron. He doesn't need to climb anything. So I was expecting in my mind that he was going to come off the apron. That didn't work out. He came off the top rope. And, you know, looking at him from when you're laying down on that table and you're looking up, you know, you're already looking up probably about 6 or 8 feet when you're looking up to the top turnbuckle from the floor. And then when you see Shane, who's, you know, 6 and change, standing up on top of that, all of a sudden, it looks like 30 feet in the air. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm, you know, I got my eyes closed like I'm selling, but I'm, you know, able to see just enough, keep him open enough just to see, you know, where Shane is. So I was ready. And I'm looking up at him and I'm thinking, my God, he looks a little up there. This is going to hurt. No comeback for me here. You know, usually you'd give a guy like me a comeback here. You'd give him a little hope. I got nothing. I got it. Look at this. The Muhammad Ali shuffle. Boom.
Yeah, the guys call it a hope spot. Who was your agent for the match and who dictated that you get absolutely jack shit offense here?
Oh, who did lay that out? It might have been Michael Hayes. I'm not sure who laid this match out. It might have just been Shane and I. I mean, look, my part of it wasn't very fucking complicated. It's called, okay, I'm going to get to the ring, you know, look confident for a minute, and I'm going to kick your ass, sell whatever I do. That's how tough it was to lay that out. Now here it gets a little more complicated. My good buddy, Jonathan Coachman, the coach, Coach Rules. I miss Jonathan. He is a fun guy to be around. Jonathan and I had a great relationship. We were friends on the show and off the show. But there's Jonathan Coachman coming to my aid with a chair shot. Now this part I don't remember.
Well, because they're calling for the bell. Charles Robinson's calling for the bell because he's technically interfered. And now Coach grabs the bell, which allows that to not be rang. And instead, the GM of Raw, you, say, I've just made this match a no disqualification. And as a matter of fact, pinfalls count anywhere.
Yeah, this is where, this is my hope spot. It's not much of a hope spot as a character, but this is my hope spot in the match. And as a snarky, smarmy heel, I guess this is appropriate.
I like you with the mic, making the cover, and then counting the pin. One, two.
You know why? Because you never, ever drop the fucking mic. It's just one of my rules. Because those mics are about $600. So dropping them, you know, not a great idea unless you're, you know, willing to pay for them. So I always held on to my mic.
Did Vince ever make you pay for a microphone?
No. No, but it's just the way I was brought up.
Sure.
AWA and even in WCW, because he couldn't afford to spend a lot of money on mics in the beginning. It's just the way I was brought up. Never, ever drop the mic. Because I used to tell that to all the talent. Guys, unless you want to pay for that mic, do not throw it, do not drop it, do not take a bump with it. Find a way to creatively lose that mic, send it in the ring, give it to the ref, do whatever you need to do with it, but do not drop it. I'm famous for that. Man. Look at Coach. Oh, nice sidekick. Do you see the speed and the accuracy on that front leg sidekick?
I love that you've got Coach doing commentary as you're beating Shane up. That's a great touch.
Oh, measuring a boom right to the solar plexus. Devastating kick. Devastating kick by Bischoff here. And great commentary by the coach, the one and only Jonathan Coachman.
Did you already own this gi get up, or did you have to go buy this?
No, I had to go get it. I don't have any. Oh, back reverse sidekick. Now that's a little bit different than the front sidekick, because you spin 360 degrees and you come off your back leg, which gets a lot more momentum, and you get a hip drive into a back reverse sidekick that you don't often get in a front sidekick. Just a little bit of karate detail there. Here we go. Now we're setting him up. Boom! That was an attempted front.
Roundhouse, wheelhouse, something like that?
No, it would have been a roundhouse here. Your hips. Yeah, wheel kick. This is front wheel kick. It was easy kick. Right upside his head. Boom. Uh-oh. Come back. Awkward elbow, followed up by a very stiff one. Here we go. Boom. That didn't hurt a bit. Was great up until this point. I'm thinking I'm going to get out of this thing alive, because the last time I got in the ring with him, he literally punched me right in the mouth and split my lip as I was.
Look at the crowd reacting. You know what's coming.
Crowd is going wild. They say, oh, Jonathan Coachman knows he's in trouble. Senses, oh my God, here comes Steve Austin. This is going, shit is on here. Right now, 18,000 people are all thinking simultaneously, what is Steve Austin going to do now?
This is a great spot. Coach trying to look around like, I don't need to be here. And now he's trying to beg off and Listen, I don't work for you. I work for Eric Bischoff. This is mind over matter. I don't mind, and Stone Cold, you don't matter. You know what's coming.
You know, and one of the reasons I think he was so good, and maybe it's just because I liked working with him so much, but he always was having fun.
Yeah.
No matter what position he was in or what he was being asked to do, and it was genuine fun. I mean, he was just sometimes giddy over the stuff he was doing. So there was no, he wasn't acting. He wasn't performing. He was being him, having a blast. Even this kind of stuff. He loved that. And, you know, Coach is a big, tough guy, too. He's not, you know, he's not your typical announcer that's, you know.
Yeah, I think people, I don't even think people really realize. I mean, Coach is over 6 foot tall.
Yeah, what do you think he weighs, 230?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's not a lightweight. He's not a cruiserweight.
He is getting his ass whipped by Stone Cold and Shane McMahon. Coach is taking more abuse here than I do. This is awesome.
Yeah, I haven't seen you run the ropes yet, and then Coach run the ropes right away.
There's a reason for that. It would look like a monkey fucking a football. It'd be horrible.
Did you ever run the ropes, ever?
Oh, I don't even know how. 30 years in the business, I don't even know how to run the ropes.
That's a good suggestion. You know, it's funny because when they said SummerSlam 03, I'm like, why? And then, I mean, I totally forgot this was even here, but you probably did not. You're keenly aware of what this was.
No, and I just, like I said, I remember it because it was fun. It was so much fun working with Shane and obviously here with Steve Austin. The chemistry was always good. Crowd always reacted, you know, whenever Steve was involved in anything I was involved with. Probably anybody else at that point. So it was just fun. That's what I remember more than anything. And, of course, splitting the back of my head open, but that'll come up later on. Boom! Stunner!
And the storyline being here, that's going to be the pin. Nope. Shane pulls you up by the hair. He's not done yet. Nope. You banged my mom. I'm not done.
And of course, Austin, loving every minute of it. Because right now we've got no DQ, right? We made it a no DQ match.
Yep. And false count anywhere.
So now it's coming back to haunt me. Here comes, brother. I sense it. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. The table. Because what would a pay-per-view be without somebody going through the table?
The Spanish announce table, no less.
Well, because that, you know, camera wasn't on the Spanish announce table all the time, so it was a little easier to get away with it. Now, this is where things got weird for me. So right now, I'm feeling this is cool. This is great. Almost over. I'll be home in time for dinner. This is awesome. Whoa! What the hell is he doing? Is that Shane McMahon? I can barely see him all the way up there. Boom!
Yeah, you're holding your head right away.
Yeah, my head bounced like a tennis ball off the concrete. You know, it's one of those bounces where it didn't just bounce once. It went boom, boom. It bounced the first time so hard that it went up high enough to come back down hard again. So I knew, you know, I've got a pretty hard head, and I, you know, I've got thick hair, I did at the time. So I wasn't too worried about it being too gory, but I just wasn't sure how bad it was going to be. And if you go back and look at that shot right there, there's blood all over my hand.
And you can tell that Charles is calling for help from the back.
Yeah, no, it was a good one. It didn't hurt, you know, and that's always, not always, but that's often the case with a head injury like that. You know, you don't really have a lot of feeling up there, which is why sometimes they're so dangerous. There you go. Which is sometimes why they're so dangerous, because you don't realize how badly you hurt. You just don't feel it, like if I would have been in another body part. But I got a hard head. Well, I had a hard head. It's not as hard anymore. It cracks easier now. And always the best part of every show, any show that Steve Austin's in. Okay, here's where we're going to recap all the important, the plot points, the twists, the turns. and the story arc of this match all right here. Just when it looks like Bischoff and Coachman have got what they want. Ooh, this is unsequenced. Oh, no, that's just a different camera angle. I just want to see the bump again. I haven't seen it forever.
That was a fun little twist there, because the deal is Austin can't touch anyone physically unless they provoke him. And of course, he picks up your lifeless body, he being Shane, and forces your hand to touch Steve Austin's face like a slap, and then he's free to give you the stunner and get to whooping. And you, on the other hand, hurting on the outside, and here's that big spot again.
Boom! That was awesome.
See if we can see your head here. Charles knew right away, too, that you were hurt.
That was it.
There you go. The Wrestling Observer from that period is not posted yet, but Brian Alvarez, his Figure Four Weekly, was, and he gave it half a star. You watched it for the first time in 15 years. What say you?
I think for what it was, because context is king, for the match, and obviously the fact that I'm not a wrestler, in terms of telling a story and putting a period at the end of the sentence of that story in a positive way, I'd give it a 7 or an 8. I mean, anybody that expected that I was going to go in there and, you know, run the ropes and do hurricanratas and, you know, missile drop kicks and shit like that was smoking crack anyway. You know, for people like me who get involved in matches, you know, this is not even something I worked out for. I didn't prepare for a day for. I got to the building and found out what I was going to do. You know, if I was going to be involved, or anybody that's like me, a peripheral character, is not a wrestler by trade, for anybody who's going to end up getting involved in a match who isn't a wrestler, you should spend at least 2 or 3 weeks, you know, being able to do enough stuff if you want to meet the expectation of having it look like a wrestling match. In my case, it just needed to look like an ass kicking. And I think in terms of ass kickings, this is a good 7, maybe an 8 with a table shot. What do you think?
No, I liked it, man. I thought it was fun. It told a good story. I mean, nobody's going to confuse it for a Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko classic, but yeah, it told a good story and it was fun. I dug it. I think it was a great suggestion here for Patreon.
All right. Me too. This was fun.
Well, stay tuned. More coming. Be right back.